redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the theme of Romans is salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. And from Romans 3 on, we see that Paul proceeded to answer some anticipated objections to the theme. And then we come to chapter 8. In verse 1, we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." The word "now," of course, speaks of the present time, followed by the adjective "no," which simply means not any. There is not any condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation can never be for those who are in Christ. But that's the key. In Christ. We like to read verse 34 of Romans chapter 8. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." In this verse, Paul is still developing, still enlarging upon the theme, no condemnation to them who are in Christ. And he opens with a challenge. Who is he that condemneth? That is, who can possibly rise up and condemn a saved individual? And then notice the next three words following the question. It is Christ. It is Christ. And then he proceeds to mention four acts, four things that Jesus did. He mentions his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his intercession. And you'll notice the last two words of the verse, all of these acts that Christ did are for us. So in order for a saved individual to be condemned, the person of Christ has to be overcome. And all these acts of Christ would have to be overcome as well. But the foundation of the acts are these words: it is Christ. It is Christ. We pray that those words would resonate, whether you're here saved or unsaved, would resonate in your heart and mind: it is Christ. You have only one hope today, and it is Christ. It is Christ. It is Christ. And that's our subject. It is Christ. First of all, we want to consider who he is. The person of Jesus Christ, because it's that which gives validity to what he's done. Again, there's that declaration in verse 1. There is now no condemnation, not any, to them which are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he gives reasons for that. Our text is part of that. And leading up to our text verses, there are four questions that are asked in verses 31 through 33. He says, "What shall we say then to these things? That is, the things previously mentioned. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God doesn't condemn, who can? Is what he's saying. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, he's developing this reasoning of why there is no condemnation to those who are saved. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And then here in our text, who is he that condemneth? Who can possibly condemn a saved individual? The argument is, it is Christ. Who can possibly overcome Jesus Christ? Who can possibly conquer Jesus Christ? That's what would have to happen in order for me to be condemned. And for all of us that are saved. Who can conquer Christ? It is Christ. The title Christ is used 9 times here in Romans chapter 8. And it's used 559 times in the New Testament. 559 times. I would say that title Christ is pretty significant. It comes from the Greek word, of course, Christos. And it's a title that means God chosen, God anointed, God sent. It is the equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah. A Messiah. What is a Messiah? A Messiah is a promised deliverer. So, we see the word Christ refers to the God chosen one, the God anointed one, the God promised one throughout the Old Testament, the God sent deliverer for sinners. And who is that? It is Christ. It is Christ that is the only Messiah, that is the only hope. If you're here and lost this morning, it is Christ. Who is he that condemneth? And in order to show that such is impossible, he says, it is Christ. Who can conquer? Jesus Christ. And in between, it is Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ. We see 4 statements of fact. In between Christ for us. Last 2 words of the verse are for us. It is Christ for us. Now in between is 4 statements. 4 statements of fact regarding Christ for us. 4 things which would have to be overthrown in order for the child of God to be condemned. You are not eternally secure because you said a prayer. You are eternally secure because it is Christ. And these 4 things that he has done. In Romans 8, we also see the words, Christ Jesus, 3 times. It is Christ. And this one who is given the title of Christ, his name is Jesus. Again, the angel declared to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. So again, it is a name that declares his being. It is a name that declares his character. It is the name of this one who is given the title Christ. And it is in this one that there is pardon for the guilty before God. It is in this one that there is nearness for the alienated from God. It is in this one that there is righteousness, the righteousness of God, which is the only righteousness which will do. People will say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. You need the righteousness of God. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will suffice. And the righteousness of God is in this one called Christ Jesus. It is in this one that there is reconciliation for the enemies of God and liberty for the enslaved. An acceptance by God and riches and hope. So you see, it is this one, Christ Jesus. It's this one that was God Himself in a human body. When we speak of Christ Jesus, we're speaking of God Himself in a human body. And He was in a human body for me. Eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, infinite, immutable, holy God was in a body of human flesh for me, for you. And He left the glories of heaven to come to this sin-cursed earth for me. Christ Jesus, the God-promised, God-anointed, God-sent rescuer from the chains of sin, Satan, death, and hell. Now let's look at His work. In our text, there are four things stated concerning Jesus Christ. And each of those is related to the opening statement of Romans 8, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What gives these four acts their potency, their effectiveness, their validity, their significance, their influence, their authority, are these words? It is Christ. It is Christ. Many have died, but we're talking about something else. It is Christ that died. So these four statements that are made here in this verse are really ascending steps and are a summary of the work of Christ. Now notice how these acts are introduced in our text. Verse 34, it is Christ that. The word that, of course, is used to identify something specific. The next act is introduced by the word rather, or more precisely. More precisely. In other words, something is added to. And the next word used to identify the next work is even. Even. When you use the word even in that way, you're using it to emphasize. It's a point of emphasis. And then the word that introduces the last act is the word also. In addition to. And again, these works of Christ are for us. So we must not merely look at these works has incidents in his life story. But in all of them, he acts as our mediator. He acts on our behalf. He is the mediator between God and ourselves. He's our representative. So the first act mentioned is the death of Christ. It is Christ that died. It is Christ that died. And he did so upon a cross at a place called Golgotha. Golgotha, we've preached on before, is a terrible place. It was a place where the demands and consequences of a broken law were carried out. It was the place where the final judgment was carried out upon the worst of criminals. The place of ultimate punishment was a designated place of suffering and torture and unspeakable pain. It was a place of misery. It was a place of sorrow. It was a place of heartbreak. It was the place of execution. The place of condemnation for the worst of criminals. Without saying, it was a place of great humiliation and indignity and disgrace. And it is Christ, the holy, the harmless, the undefiled, the faultless, the sinless one, the innocent one, was without sin. He's broken no law. And yet, he's in this place. A place where the most filthy and wicked and vile of mankind have been brought. He's in this place where the most violent and dishonest of men have been brought. Where thieves and murderers have been brought. And he's there willingly. He's there intentionally. He's there gladly. And he went there to die. He went there for the purpose of laying down his life. Again, it is Christ that died. He did so for me. And it is Christ that is in this place called Golgotha. And he's there out of love for me. He's there in my place. And there, with all of my sin put upon him, all the vileness and all the filth and all the guilt and all the debt of that sin was placed upon Jesus Christ. And he's in this place called Golgotha. And there he received the condemnation from God the Father that was due my sin. Outside of Jesus Christ there is condemnation. But he is there and he receives my condemnation upon himself. And what gives it validity is it is Christ. It is Christ. It is Christ that died. The cross doesn't give it validity. It's the person on that cross. It is Christ that died. That's an amazing statement. It is Christ that died. God Himself in a human body. He received the condemnation from God. He took my condemnation upon Himself. God, and when He did, because it is Christ that died, God's justice was fully satisfied. And full payment was made. And again, the potency of this is it is Christ. We're not talking about an ordinary man. It is Christ. It is Christ that died. And because it is Christ, not a single sin of mine was left on the book of God. Not one. It is Christ that died. It is Christ that was punished in full for me. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, how our hearts ought to overflow with wonder and gratitude and praise that it is Christ, it is Christ, it is Christ. That is my hope. We see also, there is the resurrection of Christ. Notice in verse 34. It is Christ that died. Yea. Again, used for emphasis to introduce something even stronger than His death. Something stronger than His death is now being introduced. Rather, that is more precisely or furthermore, that is present tense, risen again. It is Christ that is risen again. And that is even a more powerful argument for no condemnation to you and I that are saved. It is Christ that is risen. Related to the death that He died, this is even a more powerful argument. You and I stand at the foot of the cross and we see that it is Christ that died and that our sin debt is paid in full, and oh, what thankfulness and praise fills our soul. And it ought to. Then we stand before an empty tomb. And we hear the angel say, He's not here. He's not here. For He is risen, as He said. And standing before that empty tomb, we see sin, death, and the grave and hell are defeated foes. I don't ever walk out of a cemetery without thinking about the resurrection. Can't help it. Can't help it. Christ Jesus is risen. That's not just an opinion. That's not just a point of theology. It is reality. It is Christ. The very Christ that you need. The very Christ that can save your soul. It is Christ that is risen. May I say also, it's the very one you will stand before if you leave this life without Him. As your judge. It is Christ that came out of that grave. And when He did, it was proof that everything this book claims Him to be He is. The resurrection proves that. It proves that the debt He paid for me was accepted by God. That is, God was satisfied with the offering of Jesus Christ. If you're here without Jesus Christ today, you may try to make many offerings to God. They're all unacceptable. They're all unacceptable. You may be very sincere. That does not matter. They're all unacceptable. Because God will only accept perfect righteousness. And it is Christ. It is Christ's offering that satisfied God on my behalf. It is Christ that is risen, victorious over sin. Who is the victor over sin? It is Christ. Who is the victor over Satan? It is Christ. Who is the victor over death and grave? It is Christ. And we are more than conquerors in Him. But it's Christ. He's your only hope. Because He lives, there is a Savior. There is hope for sinners. It is Christ, a risen Christ, where you find forgiveness. It is Christ that gives hope to the perishing. Only Christ. It is Christ that is risen. That is a message of hope. That is a message of life. That is a message of victory for those who are trapped in sin. And because it is Christ that died, and because it is Christ that is risen, there is a way. And the way is Christ. There is a way for the unrighteous and the guilty and the ungodly and the rebellious, filthy sinner to be saved. It is Christ. That's the only way. It's the only way. There is a way of escape from spiritual death. There is a way of escape from the guilt of sin. There is a way of escape from the alienation of God. There is a way of escape from condemnation. There is a way of escape from the pollution and the darkness and the bondage and the destruction of sin. And it is Christ. And the reason there is an escape is because it is Christ that died. It is Christ that has risen. And because of that, there is hope for the sinner. But He is the only hope. We rejoice that there is hope. It is Christ. But again, it is Christ that is risen. He lives today. You can deny Him. You can have other opinions concerning Him. Philippians 2 makes it very plain. Revelation 20 makes it very, very plain. There's coming a day. You deny Him all you want. You hold all the opinions you want to. But I'm here to tell you, there's coming a day you're going to stand before Him. And without Him, you will perish. There's no hope. It is Christ. So this is good news. There's hope because it is Christ. But you continue to deny Him. You continue to turn from Him and flee from Him. I've got some bad news for you. He's risen. He's alive. You're going to face Him. There's hope. But there's also some news that ought to get your attention. You're going to stand before Him. There is the ascension of Christ. It is Christ who is even. Again, that's emphasis. He's not only risen. He's not only alive, he's somewhere specific. He sits at the right hand of God. And he does so for me. He's completing the guarantee that there is no condemnation. The one who paid my sin debt, the one who conquered death and sin and the grave, he sits at the right hand of God for me. And he sits there as the honored one for me. Oh, mankind doesn't honor him, but God does. He's the honored one. He's the victorious one. He's the channel of blessing. All blessings of God flow through Jesus Christ. He sits at the right hand of God. There is the intercession of Christ. It is Christ, the one who paid my sin debt, the one who died for me, the one who rose victorious for me, the one who sits at the right hand of God for me, who also, that is an addition to, in addition to dying, in addition to rising, in addition to sitting, taking his position at the right hand of God, he maketh intercession for us. How does he do that? I believe he does that by just being there. Just appearing in the presence of God for me. Presenting his blood for me. Presenting his sacrifice for me. Presenting his righteousness on my behalf. His blood, sacrifice on my behalf is always in view of God the Father. Always in view. Therefore, I cannot be condemned. So it is Christ. His death is for me. His resurrection is for me. His ascension is for me. His intercession is for me. And these are like bulwarks that surround us. They're like pillars upon which our assurance rests. It is Christ. There's my assurance. It is Christ. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. The only way to get to heaven is Christ. It is Christ. You can rest your assurance on your genealogy, your upbringing, whatever you want to rest it upon. But there is no grounds of assurance outside of it is Christ. It is Christ. Oh, that those words again would resonate in our hearts and minds. It is Christ. It is Christ. For you and I that are saved, may we declare with Paul, for me to live is Christ. Why? Because it is Christ that died for me. It is Christ who rose for me. It is Christ who sits at the right hand of God for me. It is Christ that makes intercession. It is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Someone asks us our purpose in life, our answer ought to be, it is Christ. That ought to be our purpose. That ought to be the reason we do what we do. It ought to be our motive. It ought to be our focal point in life. It ought to be the passion of our heart. It is Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, not I, but Christ. It is Christ. Believe him. Believe him. Seek him. It is Christ. Walk with him. Cast all upon Him. Draw near to Him. Press toward Him. Reach for Him. Worship Him. It is Christ. We come into this building. Those words ought to be on our minds. It is Christ. It is Christ. And for those who may be unsaved, may those words resonate again in your heart and mind. It is Christ. I pray that you can't get those words out of your mind. It is Christ. I pray it keeps you up tonight. It is Christ. And that you would come to know it is Christ, whereby you must be saved. It is Christ that is the way to God. Well, I'm trying to find my own way. You'll never find it. It is Christ that is the way to God. It is Christ that is a way out of the enslavement of sin. It is Christ who is the way out of the binding, controlling power of sin. It is Christ who is the way out of the debilitating control of sin and Satan. It is Christ who is the way out of the darkness and the filth of sin. It is Christ. It is Him alone that spans the distance between a sinner and God. And oh, what an immeasurable distance there is between a holy God and a filthy sinner. But it is Christ that spans that different distance. And Him alone. Home Baptist Church does not span that distance. Roman Catholicism does not span that difference. The Lutheran Church does not span that difference. There is no religion that spans that distance between God and the sinner. It is Christ. It is Christ. Oh, you need Him today. You need this one today. Name Jesus that bears this title. Christ. Oh, that you'd see Him today as your only hope. That you'd cry out to Him. He's available. He's here today. It is Christ. And we that are saved, may we go from here rejoicing. It is Christ. It is Christ. We are blessed. And it is Christ. It is Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us a verse of song.
160.